Well, praise the Lord. My name's Chief. Well, my real name is Steve. My mama calls me Steve. They wanted to call me Do-Rag when I joined up with a group, my brothers, and I always wore do-rags. And I said, "You what? You gonna call me what? That ain't gonna happen." So they asked me if they could call me another name that I was called in school. I said, "Oh no, my wife won't like that one." So they said, "You go home and figure out what we can call you." I said, "Well, some people call me Chief because I got some Indian background, and most of us all do, right?" So, but God, He has a way of doing things. In the Bible, you know, many men, many women were changed their names. God changed them from Abram to Abraham. I can't remember the rest of them, but He would change their name. Paul, he was Saul. You know, so God transforms us in a way that we can't even explain. But I want to just open up in prayer real quick. Father, I just come before you tonight. I ask you, God, that you have complete control over this time. Father, that you be glorified, that your name be lifted up, and that everyone here will, Lord, listen to what your Spirit has to say. Lord, we have a choice tonight. We have a choice to keep going the way we are, or we can change, Lord, wherever you lead us. Lord, we can be on the straight and narrow, or we can be on the wide road. The wide road leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to you. So, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise for this time. And, Lord, we just ask you that you have your way. And we bind every evil intent, every demonic oppression, depression, anything that would try to come against your word and try to raise itself up. Right now, we just squash it by the power of Jesus. And we bring it under His authority. And in Jesus' holy name, I just ask all these things, and that your anointing will break the yoke. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Woo! Well, I'm going to sing this song for y'all.
Amen.
He said it. He said, "I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to boo you if you ain't no good." With brotherly love.
No malice behind
you. No malice. Just tough love. Gonna get you right where you need to get. So the question was raised tonight. Does God love you? Everybody said, "Yeah." Well, this song's called Reckless Love. I don't know if you know it, but if you don't, just listen to the words. I hope I don't mess up, because I've been known to do that. You're worthy, God. You're worthy of everything. Just praise your name, Jesus. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, sorry, I'm supposed to hand them out. Dang it. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. And you have been so, so good. When I felt no wealth, you paid it all for me. You can sing if you know it. And you have been so, so kind to me. Come on. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for that reckless love. You're worthy of all praise, oh God. You're worthy of our praise, worship. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Messing that up. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, wall you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Even earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh yeah. Your reckless love, I praise you for that, Jesus. There it goes. I tell you what, out of all the answers, does God love me? I loved yours the best. Because you said it's unconditional. And that's pretty much what I want to talk about, his love, man. Because his love is so unconditional. Man, while we were yet sinners, Jesus came for us. He came for us. In your worst and darkest place that you were ever at in your life, he was coming after you. He was pursuing you. He was leaving the 99 to try to find you. Maybe you didn't want to be found by Jesus. Maybe you didn't want to hear his truth or be in his light or live like he lived at that moment in time. Maybe all you wanted was what you wanted. I don't know what that was. Well, in 1 John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Does he love you? I know I wouldn't give either one of my sons for this world. One, he don't like me so well, but that's okay. I still love him.
Amen.
And I wouldn't give him up. Not for this world, but the Lord God Almighty. He gave up his only begotten. The only child he had. He said, I'm going to give up Jesus. Sent him down here to be torn, ripped to shreds, spit on, backbited. He was betrayed beyond betrayal. People say, well, Judas was the only one who betrayed him. No, he wasn't.
Amen.
Adam and Eve started that ball rolling when they were in the garden and they started listening to another voice. They started listening to that snake. Satan is what we call him. How many of us have listened to Satan and gone against God? Have done the reversal, the all opposite of what we know to do. Is his love real? Yeah. It's more real than you can ever imagine. Is it tangible? Oh yeah. It's very tangible. He puts people in your lives that just love you just because. And you wonder, what is wrong with this person? Don't they know who I am? I'll tell you what. His love is so pure and so holy. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13:1. How many know that one by heart? Anybody? Okay, well, let's go there. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor, give over all my body into the hardship, and that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. What is love? You know, a lot of people say, let's go to Romans 5. I want to go to Romans 5 real quick. I believe it's one I didn't write down. Sorry. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love. And I talked to Pam and I said, do you know how much I love you? And she looks at me, oh no. I said, I'm head over heels for you, girl.
Amen.
I am so in love with this woman. And I look at God. And he says the same thing about us. He said, I'm so head over heels in love with you. You just don't understand. He said, I bankrupt heaven for you. I took my only begotten son. And I made him suffer for you. I said, man, that's the God I serve. That's the God I serve. Now we'll back up to this. See, I could have the most greatest message. I could preach the most greatest message to you guys. And if I don't have love, what's it going to get me? I can know prophecy. I can know what's going to happen in the future because God shows me. It's a gift from God. But if I don't have love, it don't matter. I said, Lord, how can I have the gifts that you called for me? How can I have those gifts and still have no love? He said, because I give you gifts. They're yours. So whatever God's giving you as a gift, that's yours. He's not taking it back. But if you do that gift without his love, it's not worth anything. If you have all the knowledge about God, sometimes we get wondering. We think, man, this dude knows so much, or that chick knows so much, and why don't you show me? And God says, well, just come on, I'll show you. Come with me. But what I'm getting to is, without love. Now, what kind of love is he talking about? What kind of love is he talking about that you need to demonstrate with these gifts? that unconditional love. See, God don't let you off the hook. He will not let you off the hook.
Amen.
Let's say you got an enemy. What does he say about enemies?
Love
them. He said, some say, fight your enemy. Take out your enemy. But I say, love your enemy and pray for those who despitefully use you. How easy is that to do? Without.
Not very.
That's why we need that unconditional love. See, God's asking you and me to practice that. Is he not? Is he asking you to imitate him? He wants you to be just like him.
Right.
You're made in the very image of him. And he says to imitate him. How can I do that, God? You can't, but he can through the power of his Holy Spirit. And when his Spirit starts working in you, man, you ain't going to see that person the same way. Right. One time, my daddy, he left us when we were young. I mean, you'd run too if you had 8 kids. I got 3. Well, 3 plus 1, Isabella, little 5-year-old girl. And I got her because of my nephew and niece, they messed up. And so they placed her with us. Been raising her since she was 3 days old. I didn't know what God was doing then either. I still kind of wonder sometimes. But I was getting to the point that, what was I talking about? My dad left, okay? I feared my dad so much. I feared my dad. I didn't want to be around him. When he was sober, you don't want to be around that kind of sober. But when he was drunk, he was the best daddy ever. He'd even offer you a drink. You know? But, boy, when he was sober. So years later, okay? So I'm hanging out with my dad, and I'm in Texas, because he would move back and forth from here to Texas and in between, be with a different person. So, I decided when I got back that time, I was the Holy Spirit working in me. He said, just forgive your dad for everything he done. Everything he did to your mom, beat her up, he messed up our home, he left us without a dad, he abandoned us. Forgive him for all that. I said, God, I don't think I can do that. He said, you can't, but I can through you, through my power of my Holy Spirit. So you know I did. I said, okay, Lord, I forgive him. I give it all back to you. I give my dad to you. I give my heart to you. I give everything, my mind, everything. I don't want none of it. Take it, Lord. And when I did, guess what come in to my heart? Love. But it says that perfect love casts out all fear. Remember I told you I was afraid of him, right? When he was sober. That fear got chased all the way out of me. I looked at my dad. I didn't fear him anymore. I didn't care if he was drunk. I didn't care if he was sober. I didn't care if he was in between. I looked at him and I told Dad, I love you, man. He said, what you talking about? Don't be talking like that. He couldn't stand that. He couldn't stand me telling him I loved him. I said, didn't I tell you another thing? We were in Texas. This was another time that I went and visited him. This is after I forgave him, right? Came back. Man, I had the love of Jesus all over me, right? My brother was with me. And we were in a junkyard looking for a 57 Chevy part. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, do you know Jesus? He said, yeah. He's in the church. He's on the cross. I said, no, not that Jesus. We said, what you talking about? Willis. No. No, he said, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about Jesus, the one who came off that cross, the one that's risen today. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he sits in there. He's your lawyer. He's your brother. He's the one who's rescued me. I said, do you know him? He said, no, I don't know him. My dad would do something really crazy. We'd be going down the road. He'd see a cross on the church. He'd do the sign of the cross. It's not crazy. That was a sign of respect for him, right? And I tell you what, I just kept watching him do that. I said, Pops, that's cool. That's cool. But do you know the one who was on that tree? Do you know him? And he would like, how can I know him? I said, the Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. I said, everything that you've ever done in your life, he'll forgive it all if you just turn over to him. And just looked at me. He said, how do I do that? I said, just like I said, you open your mouth, you ask God to forgive you, and he'll come. He said, I don't know. He gave his life to Jesus that day in a junkyard. He was like a junkyard dog. I'm not saying that I wasn't much farther behind him, but before I knew Jesus. But I tell you what, he rescued my dad. He rescued my dad. His love came down through the blood of Jesus. It came down and it set him free. It set him free from all his addictions. It set him free from his own self. He couldn't even tell somebody he loved them. His daddy wouldn't do it either. My grandpa never knew him. But this is what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about his love. Does he love you? He's nuts about you. Once you know the value of who you are in Christ, ain't nothing nobody can say to you anymore. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing anybody can hold over your head anymore. Ain't nobody can say, oh, who you think you are? You just this, and you were that. I was, but I'm not that person anymore.
Yes, sir.
It says, when you come to Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are a new creation when you come to Christ. Now, sometimes, when I was a baby Christian, I'd go back and revert to little things here and there because my flesh was weak. My flesh was weak. It says that the spirit wars against the flesh. They fight against each other. Why? Because they want you to do what they want you to do. In John 10:10, it says that Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. Now, a lot of people will take that and they will say, God came to make me rich. He might have, if you can handle it. But what he came to do is make you rich in him.
Amen.
I don't know anybody down here that's got golden streets, do you? I don't know anybody here that's got made a pearl, a gate. One gate is made out of one pearl. I don't know any crystal seas around here, do you? You do? Oh, I thought you were saying.
Oh, no,
let me.
No.
I want to go there.
But he does love me.
Yes, he does. This is the God who created all this that we see. He created those benches you're sitting on. He created the glasses that you're wearing. He even created the t-shirt that you're wearing and that beautiful car that your wife bought you. He created it all. And he said, I love you. And he prepared so much for you. He's got a future for you. His future for you is not to harm you. He doesn't want to harm you. He wants to give you. He wants to expand your borders. So he demonstrated his love while we were yet sinners. Romans 5. Now here's a sober reminder, I guess. 1 John 4:20-21. You can check yourself with this. If someone says, I love God, but hates his fellow brother, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we say we love God who we can't see? I check myself with that one a lot. Yeah. So check yourself tonight. We asked if God loves you. Now I'm asking you, do you love God? What are you willing to do for God? Where are you in the whole makeup of that? Because see, he's got great plans for you. But check this. He doesn't want you a quarter of the way. He don't want you half of the way. He don't want you three quarters. He wants full. He don't want to visit you on weekends in the church. He wants full custody. I've seen that somewhere. He wants the relationship every day. When you wake up in the morning, he's just like, oh, there, wake up. There's my child. There's the one I sent my son for. I love her. I love him. No matter what we've been through, his love will shine through there. I don't know what you're going through today, but you can rest assured that God loves you.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we find ourselves in a bad place. It could be because we're rebellious towards the things of God. It could be that our situations have put us there. Our lives have translated us there, and we got ourselves where we're at, or someone else influenced us, or however that happened, however messed up that happened. You know, I came from a broken family. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom married another alcoholic. I don't know, I think she was trying to fix him. You know, I'm serious. She was trying to fix my dad and my stepdad. I remember one time we were sitting. I never knew what depression was when I was a kid. I come down, he's listening to George Jones, and he's getting drunk. And I'm like, man, I feel bad. I feel real bad. I was feeling pretty good before I come down here with you, George. He put his arm around me and he's crying. But I tell you what, he's come to know the Lord. Through the power of Jesus, he's come to know Jesus. He found him. Now his son ain't following him, my little stepbrother, my half-brother. He's not following the Lord, but he's coming. A lot of my other brothers and sisters, they're coming. It's God's love. He meets you right where you're at. A lot of times it's when you're looking up. You ain't got nowhere else to look because you're at the bottom. And you're looking up. And God says, I'll meet you now. I wanted to meet you way back there, but I'll meet you right where you're at. I'm telling you, his love is real. Let me read you this out of Psalms 39. 139, sorry. This has been this has become so real to me that I just gotta, oh Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask darkness to hide me and the light surround me to become night, but even the darkness cannot hide me from you. To you the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and the light and the same to you. You made all delicate inner parts on my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your craftsmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watch me as I've been formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the darkness of womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. I think you get the message. God's really interested in you. He knows everything about you. And he made it so real to me. I've been serving the Lord for 29 years.
Amen.
Praise God.
Been walking with him. It ain't all been uphill. But guess what? He's the Lord of all. He's the King of Kings. He's the soon and coming King. He'll be here. This world isn't going to hold on very much longer. Do you think? Or do you think we got a chance to keep going another 100 years? I don't know. It'd be up to him or us, circumstances. Where are we going to be? We've had a godless society for so long. America was founded on godly principles, on his word. Godly men have come and gone. There was people being persecuted because they loved Jesus. I believe we're going to get back to that. I don't want it. But I tell you what, you start loving Jesus now. And let him love you. You ain't gonna have to worry about persecution or anything. Because you're going to be his. He's going to see that he takes care of you. You know, I look at Paul's life. He was a hitman. Paul was. He was a religious hitman for the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was a good one. He knew the law backwards and forwards, sideways. What happened to Paul? He got knocked down. Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? While he was persecuting God's people, putting him in jail, putting him in prison, having him killed. But then Jesus came, shone his light on him. He said, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? He knew what authority was. Who are you, Lord? What's going on? How did I ever do anything to you? He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And it changed him forever. Even after Jesus told him, he says, you must suffer much for me. How many of you would take on a job like that? Huh? See, Paul was a tent maker. He did a lot of different things. He was very intelligent. He got stoned, not the stone that we know. He got stoned. He got shipwrecked. He was put in prison. He was beaten. They stoned him one time. I don't know how many times he got stoned, but this one time he stoned him. They left him. They thought he was dead. He's laying there in the ground. In the middle of the night, he gets up, starts shaking the rocks off him. I get to see him. He's just bloody pulp. Wow. How about this? In prison or jail, whatever they called it, he was in there, and him and Silas, they were singing praises unto God in the midnight hour. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't know if I'd be singing no song. But they were. They knew in whom they believed. They knew that Jesus was the answer. They knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. So they were singing about him, singing psalms and praises. What happened? The whole place shook. The whole place shook. The doors come springing open. The chains fell off them. That's the God we serve. He'll change your whole situation. You might feel trapped. You might feel imprisoned. But he'll come in and he'll set you free. The jailer said he was about ready to kill himself. Because they would have killed him because he let them men go if they would have got out. And Paul says, hey, whoa, we're still here. It's all good, man. It's all good. When I read you in Psalms 139, that was David talking about the Lord.
Amen.
His relationship with the Lord. How many of you know that it says that David was a man after God's own heart?
Yes, sir.
I don't know anywhere else in the Bible that it says that. I don't, maybe there is. You can correct me later, please. And no booing. But he loved God with everything he had. He had a woman problem, didn't he?
Yep.
How many guys you know have 368 women? Concubines, they call them? Huh? How many do you know? I don't know nobody like that.
Guys were glad for punishment.
But yet, he seen his general's wife on a roof, taking a bath, saying, man, I got to have that one. Bring her to me, please. Now, 369. We're going to have 369. I said something like that the last time. Then Pam said, oh, no.
You won't.
Yeah, she says, I won't. I said, I know. I don't want. Believe me, she's planning for me. So, David had a woman problem. But God still said he is a man after my own heart. When he sinned against God, it said that he flooded his pillow with tears all night. Flooded his man, it's a lot of tears. He did. He loved God. He killed that giant, didn't he? With no problem.
Amen.
With no problem. Guess why? Because he was a pure mind, pure body, and pure spirit. He loved Jesus with everything he had. He gave him everything he had. When that giant came to the line, little David ran to the line, right to the line. He said, come on, I got a God that's going to take you out. He used David. He was a conduit. He wants to use you to take out the giants in your family's life. He wants to take out the giants in this society that are tearing our world apart. God needs you to be his child. He wants you to be his child. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. We can't pay that price back, can we? They say salvation is free. I've heard this from I don't know how many people. Oh, it's free. It's free. But I will say something to that. I will say, but it costs you your life.
Welcome to
Christ. I even went as far as to say, blood in, blood out.
Pretty much.
You sign on the dotted line with Jesus. It was his blood that purchased you. So guess what? It's his blood that's going to carry you through.
Amen.
I don't care what you're facing today. If you rely on him, he's going to show you the way, the truth, and the life. His love is true. And it's still real today and in this very moment. See, we were reading about David, right, in 139, Psalms 139. It says, you know when I get up? You knew me in my mother's womb. You knew what I was going to do over here while I was traveling. You knew everything about me. If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go to the depths, to the grave, you're there. Where can I hide from you, Lord? You can't hide. You can try to hide. He knows right where you're at. So here's my question to you today. How are you going to live your life? You're going to leave it. Are you going to be reckless with your love for Him like He is for us? That's a different kind of reckless. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He won't share you with nobody. I don't care what kind of idols are put up in your life. I don't care what you're trying to follow. I don't care who's talking to you or what. And you think that that's the world, the bee's knees as they call it. I don't care. God is jealous for you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. For you. What did He tell? What did He tell the thief on the cross? Today you'll be with Me in paradise. Today you'll be with Me in paradise. You've probably heard sermon after sermon. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, He loves you. He's a jealous God. He wants you. He wants to use you in this life. What were we created for? What were you created for? I hear that so much in school and around my friends. They say, what am I created for? What am I going to do? And I said, well, I was created for His glory. That's what the Word of God says. I was created for Him. I don't belong to myself. I'm a slave to Him. Okay, I'm going to stop. I think I talked enough. All I know is that Jesus loves you, and I want you to go away here today knowing that He loves you beyond belief. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you'll be. I don't know, like I said, I don't know where around here has gold streets, crystal sea, one gate made out of a pearl. There's many gates, but only they're made out of one pearl.
Yes, sir.
His throne is so beautiful. Me and Pam have been reading about Revelations. Talks about heaven. Talks about all the living beings that are standing before God's throne. And all they do is say, holy, holy, holy. Woo! All day long. Sometimes we say, well, what's one word? Repetitively saying. I said, well, in heaven it's something good. Down here is something good too, but if you really mean it, if you really give an honor and adoration to our King, He's coming for His people. He's coming for His people. Soon. So I want everybody to just close their eyes. Father, I just praise You, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, today to share Your word, to share You, God, with my brothers and sisters. And I'm going to ask you guys, nobody looking around, please, just before God, if you need help with your walk with Jesus. And you can raise your hand, or you don't have to raise your hand. You can come up afterwards and we'll pray for you, whatever, however that looks. But if you want to acknowledge Jesus, even now, just raise your hand. He sees it. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You. We thank You for each heart that's here today. Lord, if there's been hearts that have been turned to stone, Lord, we ask You, Lord, that You would just make it a heart of flesh. Father, that You come in and You sup with them. Lord, it's up to us what we want. It's our will to give in to You, to confess what we've done, to accept what Jesus has done. And You'll come in our hearts. And our lives will be changed forever. Lord, I ask that You will help each and every one here, Father. Whatever struggles they're going through, whatever's going on in their lives, I don't know. I don't know what's causing them pain. I don't know what's causing them agony, whatever. But Lord, I just ask, Lord, that You would just minister to them even now. Holy Spirit, just do Your work. Do Your work. Because it's in your precious name we're asking all this. We bow our knee before you today, Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. And Father, we just hand this all over to you. Put it in your hands. Plead the blood of Jesus over everyone, and that they will hear what the Spirit had to say, and it will stick. That, Lord, the Satan won't come and rob from, take away from them. The sun won't scorch them. But, Lord, you'll make it grow.
Okay, but first you'll have to unlock your
eyes. Okay, unlock the eyes. Thank you, Jesus. If you need prayer afterwards for healing, for salvation, whatever, come up and see me. Come and see the mentors, whatever. Let God just work in your life tonight. If you got fear, let Him take it away. So, Lord, we give it all to you. We give you thanks and honor and praise in the mighty name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.